महाराय होइते मुनि से काष्टा पुरुषे रखित होइते मुनि से लगिष्टा. I am a worse sinner than Jagayamada, and am even lower than the worms in the stool. A pure devotee always thinks of himself, or thinks himself more efficient than everyone else. If a devotee approaches Srimati Radharani to offer some service to Krishna, even Srimati Radharani thinks that the devotee is greater than she. Thus Narada Muni says that according to his opinion, the enemies of Krishna are better situated because they are fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna in terms of killing him, just as a very lusty man always thinks of women and their association. The essential point in this connection is that one should be fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna 24 hours a day. There are many devotees in Raga Marg, which is exhibited in Vrindavan, whether in Dasharas, Sakyaras, Vatsalyaras, or Madhuryaras. All the devotees of Krishna are always overwhelmed by thoughts of Krishna. When Krishna is away from Vrindavan tending the cows in the forest, the gopis in the Madhuryaras are always absorbed in thoughts of how Krishna walks in the forest. The soles of his feet are so soft that the gopis would not dare keep his lotus feet on their soft breasts. Indeed, they consider their breasts a very hard place for the lotus feet of Krishna. Yet those lotus feet wander in the forest, which is full of thorny plants. The gopis are absorbed in such thoughts at home, although Krishna is far away from them. Similarly, when Krishna plays with his young friends, Mother Yashoda is very much disturbed by thoughts that Krishna, because of always playing and not taking his food properly, must be getting weak. These are examples of the exalted ecstasy felt in Krishna's service as manifested in Vrindavan. This service is indirectly praised by Narada Muni in this verse. Especially for the conditioned soul, Narada Muni recommends that one somehow or other be absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, for that will save one from all the dangers of material existence. Full absorption in thought of Krishna is the highest platform of Bhakti Yoga. So, Yathavaranu Bandhena Makshastan Mayatamihat Natata Bhakti Yogena Iti Me Shita Matiki. So, Om Ganati Vidanda Shah Gananjana Shvakaya Chakshur Un Meditam Gena Tasmai Shibhave Maha. So, in this material world, before we start talking about the spiritual world, when one is angry with another person, then one doesn't hurt the other person by his anger, but he's actually meditating on the other person. And he's hurting himself. Because anger, Krishna says in the Gita, lust, anger, and greed are the three doorways that lead to hell. So anger actually hurts one in the material world. You understand? It actually hurts one. So one of the points in Krishna consciousness is Vitaraga wrote up, one has to conquer over anger. So in the material world, anger is very bad. That's one thing we should understand. Because it hurts us, not the person we're angry with. Alright, that's the first point. So as far as the spiritual realm is concerned, Narada Muni here is exhibiting extreme humility, which is the quality of a Mahabhagavat. A Mahabhagavat, does anyone remember the qualities of Mahabhagavat? What are the qualities? You don't remember. It's too far removed. Okay. A Kanishtha Adhikari, what does the Kanishtha Adhikari think? He sees Krishna on the altar, but he ain't nowhere else. He's not in everyone's heart, outside of the temple room. Mm-mm. Krishna's not there. So in other words, one will come to the temple, behave nicely, and then go in the parking lot, smoke a cigarette. We've seen that on Janmashtami. People come to the temple, isn't it? And they smoke cigarettes in the parking lot. They won't do it in the temple room, because they think Krishna's only in the temple room, he's not in the parking lot. It's kind of stupid, isn't it? Because if he's God, he must be everywhere. Aham sarvashaka, whoa, that sarvashaka, he's Krishna, the source of everything, Krishna's all-pervading. Goloka Vashti of Gilatna Bhuta, even though he's in Goloka Vrindavan, he's all pervading by his Paramatma expansion, by his energies. So that's a Kanishka Adhikari. So Majjhima Adhikari is a little bit better. We should try to be Majjhima Adhikaris. Majjhima Adhikari distinguishes between different classes of living entities. He sees Krishna, of course, he's God. And he worships Krishna. He sees the devotees, he makes friendship with the devotees. He sees the innocent, and he tries to preach to the innocent, or help the innocent come closer to Krishna. And finally, he sees the envious, and he avoids them. So he discriminates. Whereas in Mahabhagavat, he actually sees everyone as serving Krishna, except for himself. Now, that's an interesting consciousness to have. Why is everyone serving Krishna, even the people who are in the illusory energy? Because they're being controlled. Mahika stichanamati, jatu tishtati, akarmakrit, kadiyate yavasa karva, sarva prakriti jari guna. Krishna says in the Gita, everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the impulses of the modes of material nature. That's the material world. And in the spiritual world, everyone is forced to act helplessly because of his bhakti. I mean, it's free will, but it's love. Just like one is madly in love, it forces one to act. In the material world, it's like that too. When you have a man and woman madly in love, they're just forced to do things that are actually insane. Nunam pramata kurute vikarme yadindriya priti aprinoti. That's Lord Rishabhadeva's instruction. And one is Indriya Pritya, he loves his senses. Actually, in this material world, we don't really love anyone else. We love our senses, right? I mean, for example, the tongue. Let's say somehow or other you get sick and you can't taste things. Do you love the same food? No. You're not interested. Or you have dengue and you start to vomit. Do you still love, I don't know, whatever you love, laddus, pizza, what else do you love? Paneer. He likes paneer. So, you don't love those things anymore because your senses are not cooperating. So that's proof that you don't actually love anything in the material world. Because when your senses change, your attitude towards that same thing changes. It's amazing. I mean, just like when I was young, I loved to do things that I didn't want to do now. Because the body's changing. So the love is dependent in the material world upon, anyway, this body and the senses. So, nunam pramata kurate vikarma. So what considers the senses dear, then he becomes pramada, which means crazy. Basically, you know, insane. Just like if you go into a mental institution, people will be thinking things that are really crazy. I mean, one person may be thinking he's Ratumara. Who knows? You know, I mean, of course, in the West, they'd be thinking they were George Washington or Napoleon. I mean, you go into a mental institution, you'll see. I don't know if you ever heard of Napoleon, have you? He was a French man, and he was famous for conquering over, anyway, a lot of Europe. And he would always keep his hand like this. No one's ever heard of Napoleon? Anyway, you got to go back to school. Anyway, so then you go into a mental institution, you'll find people walking around, I'm Napoleon. Another person will tell you he's Superman because he's watched a lot of movies. Even I have one disciple who sometimes thinks he's Superman. His name is Gopal. He's very small. You met him?
Right? Yeah.
And he walks around. Sometimes he thinks he's Superman. Sometimes he thinks he's Spider-Man. And sometimes he thinks he's the Hulk. Anyway, I don't know if you know what he thinks. It's crazy. That's crazy. So we're walking around thinking, I mean, I'm not thinking I'm Superman, but anyway, I'm thinking I'm this body, which is just as crazy. You know, you put on a costume and you think you're the costume. It's like an actor on theater. Sometimes these actors play a certain role and then they forget about their real life. It's a very common thing in Bollywood. They play a role in a Bollywood film and they have some actress they're supposed to fall in love with. And then after the film's over, they get married to that person. And then the next film, they get married to whoever else is they're getting married to in the film. You understand? After the film's over. So this way, they have one wife after another, depending on who's in the film with them. And there's so many magazines here in Fiji, a large section of your newspaper is dedicated to these romances between Bollywood stars, and in India, of course. I mean, that's typical. So it's crazy, because people consider the illusion to be real and the reality to be illusion. Anyway, so therefore the Mahabhagavat sees everyone engaged in Krishna's service, one way or the other. Another example Prabhupada gives is someone in the prison house does work for the government, so he's engaged in the government service. I mean, I don't know what they do here, but in certain places, the prisoners make roads, they repair the roads. Here, they never repair the roads, so it doesn't matter.
They dig the graveyard.
It's a nice service. Anyway, so they're engaged in the government service, so if you're a devotee, Mahabhagavat is seen like that. Okay. And Narada Muni exhibits his mood of a pure devotee. Bhagavat, he is a Mahabhagavat. And he sees that Sishupala, he's a better devotee than me. And that, of course, is the humility, the price that one pays for going back to God, which is called abject humility. Just thinking, lower than the straw in the street, more tolerant than a blade of grass, ready to offer all respects to others, not expecting any respect. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching, of course. Trinadapi Samuchena Tarayiva Sihushmana Amanina Amanadena Kutriya Siddhavari. So that's the Mahabhagavat. Of course, Prabhupada mentions that when a Mahabhagavat wants to preach, then he has to act as a Majjhima Adhikari. So this is interesting. So Prabhupada's a Mahabhagavat, so he acted as a Majjhima Adhikari. So therefore you find Prabhupada like getting angry at the demons. You know, Prabhupada, we talk about the scientists being demons, materialist scientists, and he would talk about, will kick on their faces with boots. So a Mahabhagavat, when he's in that mood, in the Mahabhagavat mood, doesn't kick on people's faces, or think about it. But a Majjhima Adhikari, you know, then you can consider like that, the envious, the innocent, God, and the devotees. Okay. So that's another, that's another very important, that's another very important point here. Now, the point is also given here, is how can one be absorbed in Krishna like Sishupala was absorbed in Krishna? Because really, we want that. All right, let's first talk about how the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan are absorbed in Krishna. That can be explained very easily by what's called the indirect rasas.
Do you understand? You have the direct rasa, which is the worship of the Lord, Shanturas. Then you have Dasharas, which is the servant of the Lord. Then you have the Sakyaras, the friendship of the Lord, the Vatsalyaras, the parental affection, and ultimately conjugal love. Those are five. So then you also have these seven indirect rasas that make the pure devotees concentration, meditation of the Lord more intense. Like one indirect rasa is Rodra. Rodra means, does anyone know? Like Rudra? Can you guess? What does it mean? Anger. That makes it more intense. When you're angry with someone. So Krishna, for example, he arranges for Mother Yashoda to be angry with him. You see this in the higher rasas. Of course, in Shanta Ras, there is no Rodra. In Shanta Ras, you're just worshiping the Lord. My dear Krishna, you're so beautiful, you're so wonderful. Maybe I can do a little service. And Dasharas, there's no Rodra either. That's why it's very important to understand Rasa Vas. You know, what is an improper mixture of the rasas? Like you say, someone is just, oh God, you're so wonderful, but I hate you. It doesn't, you know, it's just like, it's like mixing some vegetable with another vegetable with a spice. It doesn't work. It's like putting a lot of turmeric in your globjamas. You understand? Do you put turmeric in globjamas?
No.
No. Yuck. Or putting some chilies in your globjamas. Now, some people may like it, but they're crazy. So, that's called rasa. Improper. There are some proper rasa buses. The Nectar of Ocean talks about this. So, anyway, but when you get to friendship, sometimes there's a little tinge of anger. You know, devotees are getting a little angry with Krishna. And then when you get to the parental relationship, there's more anger. When Mother Yashoda was angry with Krishna, she was chasing Krishna with a stick to beat him. When Lord Chaitanya's father was angry with Lord Chaitanya, Jagannath Mishra, he was getting ready to beat Lord Chaitanya like anything. The story is, of course, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was a little child, he kept eating the Brahmin's offering before the Brahmin could offer it. Can you imagine? Like if Giriraj there, you're making the offering, and he just walks up to the altar and he starts eating from the deity's plate. Would you get angry? He just goes up, you could say, Ma'om, Giriraj is like, delicious. So you get angry, you may want to chase him with a stick. And if he does it two times, you know, then you get super angry with him. Then you lock him in his room. So with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did that with a Brahmin. You know, one time he ate the offering, then they locked him in his room. The second time he ate the offering, and Jagannath Mishra was chasing with a stick. And then in the middle of the night, he ate the offering again. Of course, everybody was sleeping, so the Brahmin was actually pleased because Lord Chaitanya revealed who he was to the Brahmana. He was Krishna. So, but the point is that Jagannath Mishra was meditating more on the Lord when he was angry with him. So the parent meditates more on the child than the child. Or, there's Vaya. Vaya means fear. That's another indirect rasa. Well, let's finish with anger first, because I want to go up to conjugal rasa. Then the anger reaches its pinnacle in the conjugal rasa. In the conjugal rasa, you have Krishna really wanting to get Radharani angry like anything. What he does is when he's speaking to Radharani sometimes, he mentions the name of his another girlfriend, Chandravali. He says, your face is just like a moon, like many moons. And so the word in Sanskrit is Your face is just like Chandravali. It's just like someone saying to their girlfriend, let's say his girlfriend's name is, let's pick some Indian name, Parijata or something like that. See, your name is just like, what's another Indian woman's name? You know, it's a book, tell me. You know, anyway, so why, anyway, I'll pick up a Western name. So you say to your wife, your face is just like that wonderful, the girl I met in my office. And that's pretty bad, isn't it? Well, what happened if you said that to your wife? Very upset, not just upset, very upset. So Krishna did that deliberately to Radha Rani. I mean, there's this whole story, many stories. Krishna says that. And he also arranges for other devotees like Vrinda Devi to tell Radharani, like, that, you know, Krishna's been hanging out with this other girl. And then Radharani gets so angry, she goes somewhere and she tells her friends that if this bluish boy comes, just beat him. I don't want to see him again. And so in this way, the meditation is increased in the spiritual world. She is so angry, but at the same time, I mean, it's an interesting combination. At the same time, she wants to please Krishna. I mean, at the same, it's so interesting, like in Lord Chaitanya's Shikshataka, as mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Radharani says, if Krishna wants to associate with another woman, I'll go to that other woman and bow down to her feet and serve her so that she will associate with him. So you got this mixture. And it's a very playful thing too. So anyway, so the Throdra, and then finally Krishna has to do things just to get to see Radharani. He has to dress up sometimes like a woman, like a deity. Sometimes he dresses up as Gauri, the deity Gauri. And there's that whole story, the Gauri Kund story, which is in Govardhan. Sometimes he dresses up as a sannyasi, a fortune teller. He says to her, he comes in, sannyasi, please let me read your palm. And he grabs her palm, and anyway, you understand, gets romantic. And then sometimes he dresses as a boatman, and they go on the Manasa Ganga, and Krishna arranges that practically they all drown. And so Radharani looks and she sees the flute sticking out from the boatman's belt, and she understands Krishna. So Krishna has many tricks. He gets her angry and then makes another trick to associate with her. It's really interesting. So that's Rodra. And there's other ones like Vaya, okay, fear. How is that manifested? Mother Yashoda is fearful that Krishna is in danger when he's going out to the pasturing ground. There's demons, the coward boys. Of course, that fear is not really manifested in Shantaras. Dasaras to a certain extent. But in Vatsalya Ras, or let's say Sakya Ras, it's also, because the coward boys, they're put in a fearful condition when there's a fire in the forest. Remember there's a fire, forest fire? There were two forest fires. And then Krishna just said, close your eyes, everything will be all right. They close their eyes and Krishna just swallowed up the fire. And or the coward boys were imprisoned by this demon. I'm trying to remember the demon's name, who flew in the air. What was the demon's name? Anyway, he imprisoned the coward boys in a cave. Or the coward boys walked into the mouth of the Gasura. And this way, fear made them think of Krishna more. Just like when you're fearful, it's very intense. You're thinking of, you know, someone saving you or whatever. And then, of course, Krishna does the same thing with the gopis. He puts them in a fearful condition sometimes. So you've got this fear, you've got that bhuta, you've got astonishment. You got hasya. Hasya means humor. Like what sometimes Krishna says to one of his coward boys, open your mouth and I'll give you some prasadam, but close your eyes. And he throws a flower in the poor boy's mouth. And everyone's laughing. So when there's laughing, there's humor, there's more concentration or meditation upon the person, upon Krishna. So all these indirect rasas, you know, ghastliness. You know what ghastliness is? Ghastliness is something like really frightening. Like if a monster comes out at night or there's blood all over the place. So sometimes there's these monsters. Ghastly monster like this. Shankachuda. Or different monsters like Vakasura. And this, it's like ghastly, it's frightening. And then, you know, it's a mixture of fear, ghastliness, astonishment. And so these indirect rasas, the point I'm making, these indirect rasas help a devotee think of Krishna more. So, okay. So then what are we going to, the final question I'm going to raise is how can we be absorbed in Krishna? Well, basically these indirect rasas don't apply to us right now because we haven't realized we're not our bodies. So how do we meditate on Krishna in an intense way? Are we supposed to get angry like Shishupal? That Krishna, you didn't give me enough prasadam to eat? Krishna, you didn't give me enough money? Krishna, you smashed my car? Like Sumukhi lost his car by the mercy of Krishna? No, that's not the way we meditate. We meditate on Krishna, as explained in the Gita. Brahmarpanam brahmahavir brahmatno brahmanavantam brahmatena gantavyam brahmakarma samadhi. That we find some work we like to do for Krishna, or in accordance with our psychophysical nature. Just like yesterday I was talking to one businessman, very nice businessman, one of Sanatana's friends. Sanatana has a lot of business friends because he's a vaishya. So it's interesting, his father's a Brahmin, he's a vaishya. But anyway, so interesting, happens Kali Yuga. So this businessman came to me, he said, I'm running this business with so many buses and everything like that, I just want to renounce it and become an accountant. And, you know, I hear this all the time. Everyone in Fiji wants to become an accountant. There's more accountants than money in Fiji. Actually, the first service I had in the movement was being an accountant. But then there was no money in the temple, so they kicked me out in Sankirtan. The way they got me to join, they said, you join the movement, you could be the treasurer. And then I went to the safe, and there was no money, so I had to go to Sankirtan. So it's a good way to get someone to join. So if there was no money, Madhuram would have to go in Sankirtan. That's interesting. So, anyway, I was speaking to him. He said, I'm trained as an accountant. I got this business. I have so many buses, so many headaches. I want to renounce it all. Maybe become a sannyasi like you. And then he didn't say that. And I said, if you do that, you'll be forced by your nature to start another business. You're going to be sitting there counting someone else's money, completely frustrated, and then you're going to be unhappy. But now your mind is engaged. So this is your dharma. You know, this is dharma, to be engaged according to your nature. I said, but if you really want it, because this is typical sannyasi talk, if you really want to be engaged according to your dharma, give the results to Krishna. You know, it's like in like a pin, out like a plow type of preaching. You know, someone asks, what should I do in work? And then you tell them, give all your money to Krishna. So, They give them, which is true. We're not just like making up the philosophy. Because Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, whatever you give away, do for me. So that's dharma. Or like Arjuna, Krishna said, if you don't act for following my instructions, you're going to be forced to fight anyway. So businessman will be forced to do business. You send a businessman into the forest, you know, vanaprast, and he'll start selling the trees. Isn't it? They'll look at the trees, start cutting them down. Oh, there's a sandalwood tree. Oh, so much. Thousands of dollars for each kilo, whatever it is, of sandalwood. So you can't take someone's nature out of them. It just doesn't work. So we should be doing something that really fits our nature. And then we're happy. And we're absorbed in Krishna. And then also, as far as anxiety and anger are concerned, let's say anxiety, we should be in anxiety how to spread the Krishna conscious movement. Because as Prabhupada said in the Upadeshamrita, one who is always thinking on how to spread the Krishna conscious movement, he said that's a Mahabhava. In other words, that's absorption in Krishna. If you're always thinking, that's anxiety. Just like here I come to Fiji, and you're so merciful to me, you give me so much anxiety. Isn't that the situation here? My disciples are expert in giving me anxiety, so wonderful. I thank them. The legal situation, which we won't get into right now, gives me anxiety. It keeps me engaged. If you didn't give me anxiety, how would I be engaged in Krishna service? What do you think, Krishna? Good argument. So all the devotees will actually take up that as an instruction after class and act in such a way to give me anxiety. Then I will curse them. So, no. So the point is, if you're doing your service, you should be enthusiastic, in anxiety, how to do it. Like Prabhupada described that how his spiritual master would manage the Gaudiya Math, Srila Bhakti Samanta Saraswati Thakur. He said as soon as the temple had money, he would take all the money away from the temple, so they were anxiety, so they had to go out and preach and make more money. So that's the point. If everything is going well, then you don't think of Krishna. There should be challenges in Krishna consciousness. In that way, we can have intense absorption in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said an easy life and advancement in Krishna consciousness don't go well together. It just doesn't go well. So we need challenges, anxiety, a little distress, and then this instills our devotion and meditation on the Supreme Lord. Okay? So then we spoke about a few points here. Any questions or comments? Yes?
You spoke about nature. So is our nature related to our occupation? And if not, then how do we...
Not necessarily.
How do we determine
that? We should make our nature related to our occupation. In other words, our nature... I've given this example many times before. Is something that you can do 8 to 12 hours a day without getting bored or upset. You really like, you're absorbed in it. Just like sometimes you see people who are computer nerds. They can just be on their computer programming or something like that for 12 hours a day, they ignore their wife, ignore their family, because they're absorbed in work. I mean, just like I was talking to this gentleman yesterday. His wife asked him, "My dear husband, do you have any hobbies?" And he said, "Yes, my hobby is my work." And his wife said, "You're crazy. Don't you like to do skiing, water ski? Well, I don't know what you do here as a hobby. Drinking kava is a hobby." And he said, "No. I like my work." He really is absorbed in his work, so he's properly situated. But like Sanatana, he likes filters. He's absorbed, I can see. He's absorbed. People call him on the phone 24 hours a day. And he knows all the numbers of all the filters. You know, there's like 2,000 digits. You know, 1-5-6-7-7-7-7-2-2 PRS. You know, someone calls him on the phone and says, "Do you have a 1-7-5-2-2-2-3-3 PRS?" He said, "Yes, we just ordered it. It'll be here tomorrow." It's true. I mean, it's shocking. But he's absorbed. I mean, so his mind is controlled. Because if you're not, your mind is, like Baba said, idle mind is a devil's workshop. So if you're sitting, let's say if your job is accounting, but actually your nature is to be a businessman. I won't tell you what Varna accounting is. So a businessman is Vaishya. So that, but then you're gonna be, your mind will be disturbed. And just think, what am I doing here? You know, I can't stand it. And then you'll start surfing on the internet, looking at all the news sites, listening to classes, Hare Krishna classes. In other words, it won't be practical for you. Something that your work should be your hobby. You should be really enthusiastic about your work. Every day when you go to your work, you should be thinking, "Wow, I get to work today." Then you're properly situated. But if every day you're thinking, "Oh no, I have to work because I need the money. Oh, this is miserable." Did you mean this? If you're a doctor, you should be thinking, "Wow, I want to help people. I really do. I want to learn more about medicine to help people. Study more." Not that, you know, I'm a doctor. Oh, if I see another patient, I'll kill him. Well, you give the results to Krishna. In other words, if you're a doctor, you're making money. So you think, how many operations have I done today? How many more will I do tomorrow? Like they do in America, if they look at you, they even if you don't have a heart condition, they want to do an operation. Yeah, the hospital gives them a quota in America that if you're a heart surgeon, you have a quota of 50 bypass surgeries this month. So even, you know, someone has a little clog in their artery, "Oh, we got a new bypass. You're going to die tomorrow." Anyway, don't be like that. That's a cheating doctor. But as far as we give the results to Krishna. If one's a businessman, give the money to Krishna. What's the problem? What are you going to do with it? I mean, what are you going to do? Just like make a bed full of money? My brother was like that. My brother became a doctor. He's a podiatrist. He worships other people's feet. That's what a podiatrist is. Didn't you know that? One who worships other's potters. He wasn't whole business bathing other people's feet. So gets paid for it. So he is so much into money. When I was young, he would keep money in his mattress. You know, mattress, bed mattress. Which was good because whenever I needed money, I knew where to go for it. So anyway, I mean, so what is the good of money? It's like gold was described as like the stool that one passes when they're sick, you know, golden stool, something like that. If you have money, give it to Krishna. I mean, of course, maintain your family, engage your family in Krishna consciousness. We're not saying that give all your money and then just walk around the street without any money. But, you know, give it to the Krishna consciousness, help spread Krishna consciousness. Sponsor some books, sponsor the deity worship. Renovate the temple. We got so many leaks in the temple here. You know, this or preach, do something. Otherwise, just sitting there hoarding money, then it's Kali Yuga right there. So basically, that's the result of our work. So if you're a Brahmin, maybe you teach in the university. And if you're a Kshatriya, maybe you join the government. if you're a Vaishya, you do business. Don't renounce it. Because you won't be happy. And if you're a Shudra, you do some nice work to assist the other people. Like you work on computers or something like that. You know, Prabhupada said technicians are Shudras, which is interesting. You know, technicians and people. Anyway, so that way you can be absorbed in Krishna 24 hours a day, because then you'll get up in the morning thinking about your work. And then ultimately, the Prabhupada said in the beginning, one is attached to the external manifestations of the service, and as one advances, one gets attached internally to one's relationship with Krishna. It's a gradual process. But that verse I quoted in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagno Brahmanahutam, it's a famous verse. It means that when one makes an offering to Krishna, or does some service to Krishna, Brahma Karma Samadhyam, his work is dedicated to Krishna. It's like offering ghee into the fire. The ghee becomes purified. And even the smoke is pure. Prabhupada said when you breathe the smoke from this fire sacrifice, that smoke is purifying. If you breathe the smoke from a cigarette, it's a purifier. Right? So someone could say, I'm getting purified. But the smoke from fire sacrifice is pure. Because it's being offered to Krishna. It's smoke is smoke, right? I remember that just one funny thing. In America, the American Indians have this thing called the sweat lodge. Where they make the sweat lodge, you ever heard of this before? Where they breathe smoke for 12 hours. They put themselves in what's called a teepee. You know what a teepee is? Teepee is like a tent. Like you've seen in some of the Western movies, if you watch Cowboys and Indians, like that. They put themselves in a tent and they make a fire and they just breathe smoke for 12 hours and they start to see things. Obviously, you start to see things when you don't have enough oxygen. And they think they're having a spiritual experience. And they're sweating. It's like 55 degrees in there, centigrade. And they think, boy, this is spiritual. Even one devotee was so much in Maya, he was a temple president, he set up a sweat lodge in his temple. And had all the devotees sitting there all night long, chanting Hare Krishna, breathing in smoke. And they were hallucinating. They thought they saw Krishna. But it was just, their brains were getting damaged. So that is not purifying. But the Prabhupada said, when you offer ghee in the fire, you know, swaha, 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 that smoke is purifying. So it's the same smoke, but it's transformed by offering to Krishna. So the activity is the same, but when it's offered to Krishna, there's a transformation. Brahma, karma, samadhi. And if you're absorbed, samadhi means absorption, then it's Krishna consciousness. Because you're giving the result, you have to give the results to Krishna. That's the final statement. Otherwise it doesn't work. If you're just absorbed in doing business and you don't give anything to Krishna, it's not dharma. It's karma. Okay, on that happy note, so everybody can give all the results to Krishna. There's a hundi right there. We should get a different hundi. A nicer hundi for the temple. In Tirumala, the hundi is like a cloth hundi. It's this, actually as tall as me, and this wide. And it's like a funnel. You saw that. It's really nice. And people just dropping things in. I'm thinking of making some for our temples in the United States, for Janmashtami. So people get the hint they're supposed to put a lot in there. If it's very small, you don't only think it's small donation. But if you have a big thing, nobody's going to throw just like 10 cents in a big thing like that. Then you definitely want to throw your jewelry, everything into it. Gold jewelry. Okay, on that happy note, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.